Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay, and I am a liar. earlier this morning, I was telling you how the weather's all clear. Finally, no rain for a day. Oh, Lord. So there is a storming on our News Radio Threat Net radar off into the Gulf to our south. But to our west, there's just a blub of things coming this way. And yeah, it's all going to get here over the course of the next couple of hours. And being as we're on the southern end of it, that's where the lightning and the red zone is, essentially. So later on this morning, once again, it's going to be one of those days. So batting the hatches, I don't know, man. Just be aware. Okay, be aware. Julio Diaz, he is the host of the Pensacola Movie Club, and he is also the host of Let's Go Pensacola, which you can hear at 4 o'clock right here on News Radio on a Saturday. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hello, Andrew, and I want to make sure you know the red zone is for loading and unloading of passengers only. There is no parking in the white zone.
There is no parking in the white zone. Well done. Oh, man. Hey, we're all counting on you. But back to the point. That's good. I love that. So what do we have this week? New movies only in Santa Rosa County, right?
Yeah, just nothing new opening nationally, so we don't have anything at our big chains in Pensacola. But in Santa Rosa, we do have a new movie opening each at the Ridge Theater and at the Breeze Theater. So opening at the Ridge is Jacob's Wife, which is getting really good reviews, actually. It's running about 85% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's high.
And so this is a horror movie, and it stars a couple of kind of legends of the field. Barbara Crampton, who's been making horror movies for something like 40 years. You may remember her from movies like The Reanimator or You're Next or Lords of Salem. She's the titular Jacob's Wife in this movie. She plays the woman who used to be known as Adventurous Anne in her community and was kind of a wildcat, and she marries a preacher named Jacob, who's played by Larry Fessenden, himself another horror legend. She becomes, you know, kind of a tame preacher's wife. And then one day she meets up with an old flame, meets him for a tryst, and surprise, surprise, gets turned into a vampire.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, you know, that old chestnut. So she regains her power, and her husband finds that he kind of likes it. So there's some interesting commentary going on there, but again, getting really good reviews. I hadn't known much about this film before I started digging up what was going on this week, but this looks like something I'm really interested in seeing.
All right, and that one is at the Ridge. I think we're also getting one at the Breeze, is that right?
Yeah, at the Breeze we have Trigger Point, which stars Barry Pepper as a disgraced U.S. operative who's had memory loss at the hands of his captors, and gets dragged back into the spy world when a colleague goes missing. He's trying to recover his past because there's something in his past that is a clue towards helping find his colleague that has been taken. This is not screened for critics, so read into that what you will.
Despite Barry Pepper? Come now.
It's a high-powered cast led by Barry Pepper.
And Linda Vandervoort. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, Laura Vandervoort.
Oh, Laura, I said Linda, sorry.
If people remember her, they probably remember her as Kara, a.k.a. Supergirl on Smallville, not on the current Supergirl series. She was also in the V reboot. People may remember her for that, too. I actually like her a lot, but she doesn't get a lot of A-list roles or anything like that.
Yeah, you can look down the list of cast members here and kind of raise your questions about, anyway, I love your description of Barry Pepper playing Barry Pepper in a movie, so appreciate that. since that's all the new stuff, we also had some announcements about Indiana Jones 5, right?
Yeah, Indiana Jones 5, which is coming next year, apparently. And remember, this will be the first one that will not be directed by Steven Spielberg. James Mangold is taking over directing for this one, who is a really interesting filmmaker. So if anybody's going to do this, it's not Spielberg. He's certainly an interesting choice. They've cast Phoebe Waller-Bridge as the female lead, who of course got a lot of attention a year or so ago for Fleabag or Amazon series, and is kind of one of the British actresses of the moment. And they've added, I was having this conversation the other day where I think this guy is kind of the heir to Alan Rickman. He plays a lot of bad guys and is like kind of the interesting English actor that plays a lot of heavies of the moment, Mads Mikkelsen. Although Mads is not English, but you get where I'm going here. Mads Mikkelsen, who's kind of in everything, will be taking over Grindelwald in the Fantastic Beasts series. He's, of course, in Doctor Strange. He was Hannibal in the Hannibal TV series. He's joining the film as well.
So. Okay. All right. Well, I will obviously look forward to that optimistically, hoping that it's not a Crystal Skull reboot. So that's fine. And lastly, you had some news about CBS renewing some shows.
Yeah, so CBS has some most watched shows in the country, and they kind of just always seem to go under the radar. I think it's largely because they have an older and or family audience. It's not an audience that rushes online to talk about their most recent episodes or anything like that. So they kind of like seem to fade into the wallpaper, but these are shows that a lot of people love. So renewed this week, NCIS, Blue Bloods, Bull, Magnum PI, and SWAT. And all of these have been on for, at the short end, Magnum PI, I think this will be its fourth season that it'll be renewed for, but NCIS has been on for about 947 years.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you include alternate. Yeah, no, you're right. And like my boys, we love Magnum PI. That's one of the shows we watch. So you're exactly right. They're the kind of shows that, you're not going to ever see them at the award ceremonies. They're not going to be the high Twitter commentary, but they're shows that people love them and love to keep loving them. I mean, they're solid. Yeah. And with
now, I'm just wondering when we're going to see a Magnum PI Blue Bloods crossover.
Yeah, it'd be cute to bring.
Get Tom Selleck in there.
That's exactly right. Dad. All right. Julio Diaz, he is the host of the Pensacola Movie Club and also the host of Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio. Julio, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
No worries. Thank you, Andrew.
8:16 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Coming up in just a moment, we will check in with our Transgressors Memorial Service and honor those we have lost this week to cancel culture. Before that, we got Davis Allen with Traffic on the Five.
I know your life on earth was troubled. Only you could know.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we have lost. Apu, the beloved Simpsons operator of the Springfield Quickie Mart, discovered this week that he was not a real Indian, but in reality a middle-aged white voice actor named Hank Azaria, and immediately passed from our fellowship. The great imposter Azaria has flagellated himself repeatedly in public since the discovery, and we are hopeful for his reformation after this disturbing example of brown voice. If only Apu had turned out to be from Bombay, or a taxi driver, or the team leader in a call center with a more authentic accent. But alas, he was a white guy who used his devil tongue to convince us that convenience stores are never owned by people who do not speak flawless English.
Thank you. I'll come again.
Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Your sweet voice.
Walmart. Although it has not been officially announced, we anticipate any moment the decision to cast this once great American villain from the Congregation of the Faithful. This week, hundreds of major American companies formed a Democratic lobbying collective called the We Hate Georgia and Any Other State with Republicans 2 Super PAC. Inexplicably resisting this next evolution of hive mind, Walmart declined the invitation instead, outrageously saying they preferred to stay out of politics and just sell stuff. This attempt to proclaim tolerance clearly violates the third rule of wokeness. Silence is the greatest sin of all. And so, the process to deport Walmart from the country has officially begun.
Woe unto all who offend!
And finally, the word mistress. When it was brought to light by the noted acolytes of word purity at the Associated Press that any term referring to an adulterer by her gender is inherently sexist, since there is no comparable male word. Moreover, calling a woman a mistress reinforces the blatant cisgender bias that there actually are women. Of course, since all sexism is rooted in terminology and synonyms, it is inadequate to merely remove the one evil term. Therefore, all substitute words such as harlot, adulteress, consort, concubine, sidepiece, homewrecker, and Lewinsky are now to be uttered nevermore. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Go rest high on that mountain.
And now, with these canceled villains cast out from our midst, when we all go forth and microaggress no more, woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
23 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I must confess, I did have someone ask me recently how I come up with these crazy topics for the Transgressors Memorial Ceremony, and I had to say, they're all news stories. They're all real, actual news stories. Oh, I fudge a little bit with the details for effect, but these are all actual things. 8:23, Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
New details this morning, hours after that mass shooting at a FedEx facility in Indiana overnight. Witnesses say it was not sparked by any arguments or fights. The gunman reportedly shot a woman in the parking lot, then continued firing as he walked inside. He killed 8 people before killing himself. Former Vice President Mike Pence's heart getting a boost.
Pence's office announced a pacemaker was implanted after he started experiencing a slow heart rate. The procedure was conducted at a medical facility in Northern Virginia. Pence's office says a full recovery is expected. Pence is 61.
That's Michael Kastner. A lot more happening in Vegas these days and probably needs to stay there. That means Las Vegas needs to hire more staff and fast. Workers laid off last year. Travel, though, ramping up thanks to vaccinations. MGM Resorts is looking for hundreds of people to fill vacancies at its 12 hotels.
Everybody everywhere can't find employees.
That's
everybody
right.
Everywhere says you're paying them too much for unemployment. You're making it too easy to get unemployment. And they don't want to work.
they will in September.
We'll see. Also, I think you missed an opportunity to teach us a new word.
I did?
Yeah. Who's driving the tourism in Las Vegas? It's the vaccinistas.
Oh, the vaccinistas? Right. Yeah, that's true.
The people
They're
who
flaunting
are
flaunting their vaccinations.
Inappropriately showy with their post-vaccination
that's
status.
A new thing, the Urban Dictionary. Yeah, vaccinista.
Mark, thanks so much for the update. 8:25 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Was a post that you put up with lingerie on, and there were some negative comments from people who said things like, you are far too desperate for attention. Celebrating our aging in this empowering way rubs a nerve with some people. Why do you believe that is the case?
So this was Paulina Poroskovna. You remember her from a long time ago when she was one of the original supermodels, like back in the, 80s, I guess, something like that. And she's, you know, a beautiful woman. She's in her 50s, and she made a, how dare she show a picture of herself in lingerie. And I'm not a big fan of the pictures in lingerie, you know. It's just, so understand me, I am a conservative. But nevertheless, the how dare she, why? Because she's older? That's the problem?
You know, I do spend quite a lot of time pondering that, because it sort of dawned on me that, you know, in my 20s, I was celebrated for showing up in lingerie. I was getting a lot of money for it, and everybody loved me. And in my 50s, I still think I look pretty good in lingerie, but the reaction is reviled. Obviously not by everybody, but...
I'm not surprised, but I am surprised. Because, I mean, are women not allowed to be sexy in their 50s? Do you think people stop? I mean, what do you think? No, you're supposed to be ugly and nobody's interested in you. What a horribly disgusting message about the value of women based on age.
But yeah, there's a fair amount of backlash about, and I think it's that when you get older, there's a certain sort of invisible boundary that happens in maybe your mid-40s where you don't look fertile anymore. It's a menopausal thing. And maybe it's because you're starting to look a little like people's mom, that sexy is not allowed. You're allowed to be beautiful. You're allowed to be handsome. You're allowed to be present. You're allowed to be even shocking or eye-opening, but you are not allowed to be sexy.
I mean, she's exactly right. And now she's done the cover of Vogue in which she's, well, it's just that she's not wearing much. Okay. So, yes. Oh, my God. Women of any age. And by the way, you know, women, again, I'm not a big fan of the value of women looking sexy in public, like on magazines and things like that. But if as a culture we're going to have that, then the idea that you can have older women be there as well, absolutely. What do you think? You think mom and dad stop? I mean, I hope not, right? You think that just because she's 56 that she can't be appealing? Oh, it's awful. The idea of that. And then people would, no, you should cover up. That's inappropriate. Inappropriate for all ages or appropriate for all ages. That's where you need to be in thinking about this. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have Greg Litton and Troy Moon in studio, and we're going to talk about all the things that happened this week on The Wrap. Mark Jacobs will have your local news coming up right next after Fox.
Everybody jump! Jump, 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 jump!
I said a hip. The hip it ever hip hip hobby, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
Yes, it is The Wrap. Every Friday this time, I like to get a couple of people in studio who I think will be interesting and not shy, and I think I have satisfied the basic criteria today. Joining me for The Wrap, we have Greg Litton, who is, of course, a famous former Major League Baseball player and also ran for District 4 in Escambia County Commission the last time around, and Troy Moon, who used to write for the Pensacola News Journal and was always interesting in the things he would cover and the things he would say about it, and currently works with Pensacola State College. Gentlemen, welcome to The Wrap.
Thanks, Andrew. That's not a real high bar you set for us. But
dude, I just can't believe I'm on the radio or I'm sitting next to a guy who hit a home run in the World Series.
I did not.
I'm sitting.
Oh, you mean Greg. Oh, I mean, see, these rumors get started, you know.
That's a big deal,
it
man.
Is.
That's a big, big deal.
Just you, a couple you, years ago.
Still, so, man.
So when you were in the big leagues, did Pensacola, I mean, was it a thing for you that you could be an emissary for Pensacola at the time, or has that come later or at all?
No, I've always taken it serious, being from Pensacola and coming home, trying to give back and do as much as I can. Now, you know, obviously I didn't have the platform that, you know, Roy Jones or Emmett Smith or mm-hmm. somebody like that, but I always took it serious and have always tried to give back to the community and especially the young players around the area.
You know, you could have done like Roy, and every time you got to first base, just yell, Pensacola in the house, every base you went. Pensacola in the house.
You would have been known.
Not many people would have heard it. But.
Right. No, you know, when I first moved here, I always thought that was so fascinating. At first, it seemed like a novelty, the way, like on the nightly news, you know, Channel 3 would talk about, and Dan Shugart would talk about this player for Green Bay or this player for the Buccaneers. And at first, it seemed like a novelty. And over time, I'm like, oh, my God, we have a lot. Yeah. And then I thought it was the coolest thing. Like, oh, that is really neat that we don't really care who you play for. you play for Pensacola in those teams. You know, I just think that's a really neat thing.
Well, yeah, because we pulled for these guys. I mean, they're over there in San Francisco or Dallas, you know, or Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But here at home, we're following that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so Greg Litton, Travis Fryman, all those names mean a lot to people in Pensacola and still do. And I'm still, you know, that was cool. I see Greg Litton walk in here. I never met him, you know, really face-to-face, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, I mean, for me, like, you know, Emmitt Smith, obviously I knew who that was, but I didn't know him as my guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or Roy Jones. I knew who he was, but I didn't know him as my guy. And now you're hearing, like, oh, my God, these are our guys. That's pretty amazing.
And we appreciated that as well. When we would – and being from in or playing in San Francisco, that's not exactly the city you just dropped by from Pensacola. But playing all over the country, and when we would hit Atlanta, St. Louis, there would always be some Pensacola fans there, and that was always pretty cool.
You know, obviously we talk about the news during the wrap. We could talk about sports all day. I know baseball especially, and a lot of people would be like, why that? But okay, anyway. HB1 has been one of the big things in the news for the last several weeks, ever since last summer's riots, slash protests. Some were the other. You know, the governor has been pushing this. The House and the Senate have now signed off on it, which means the governor is going to sign it. Reaction. You know, I think it makes sense. I think that the changes are appropriate and relatively mild. Other people think it's the end. They say it's kind of the end of protests as we know it. Threats of boycott are imminent. I expect us to be threatened at least with boycotts in the state of Florida over this. What do you guys think?
Well, I'm one of those. Look, I think DeSantis has done a great job. Mm-hmm. I think he's been absolutely fantastic. And I think something has to be done. I mean, it's one thing to just have a protest, but I think if you look at what's going on all around the country, it's like a spoiled child. You give them an inch, they take a mile, and it just gets worse and worse. So I'm in favor from what I've seen and read.
You know, I think there's a side to this that we, as a conservative supporting it, I don't often mention, but I think it is worth mentioning. If people are frustrated and don't believe in the system of laws that they have to live under and don't trust the authorities, whether their belief is rooted in good, solid evidence and fact and truth, that's important. But what they feel about their government is essential. You know, the consent of the governed is everything. And if people really feel like their government doesn't represent them and look out for their interest, that's a problem for all of us. And I think we have a lot of people who feel that way right now. And those are the folks who feel threatened by this bill, even though I don't think they should be. Those are the ones who are reacting to it.
Well, if they do have this kind of distrust of government, what do you do to address that?
Right.
I mean, does this help address that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. And that's the other side of it, is if the distrust has grown into behavior that cannot be tolerated legally, is the answer a law only? And what's the other mechanism? You know, how do you reach people who have gotten to that state of disenchantment? I mean, I don't have the answer to that. And I'm under no illusions that the vast majority of, let's be honest, you know, black Pensacolians are maybe not listening to this show. I wish they would. I wish I could talk to them, but I'm not their show primarily. How do I reach them, since they're the ones I want to help persuade?
Yeah, I mean, don't look at me. I have no idea, but you're right. I think the biggest thing is getting the relevant and truthful information to everybody, not just, you know, the black community, but to all of us. And I don't think we're getting that nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, I mean, I think you underestimate your power here. I think a lot of different people listen to you.
No,
brother.
That's fair. I take the correction and the encouragement. I do. It sometimes feels like I'm trying just to tell the truth. And it sometimes feels like the people I want to hear that, and I wish most would hear it, whether it's on this issue or other issues, aren't. You know, may have other sources of information that they prefer. And I don't know how to fix that when there are so many different sort of balkanized sources of information telling people all different kinds of things, often reinforcing what they already prefer to believe.
You sometimes feel like you're one voice out there. I understand.
Which you probably remember feeling a little bit that way too sometimes, based on the things you would write, which I know were, you know, is that who's really getting this?
Yeah, and you know, sometimes you write this or you're talking, and then you realize 99% of the population's doesn't read you or doesn't listen to you. I mean,
yep.
you're so we're speaking to the same group basically every day.
I'm always amazed. And I know Greg, you know you're on this as well. I'm always amazed by the stuff that the people I hang out with take for granted that everybody knows.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, for instance, that I can say a phrase like, we're talking about court packing in the news this week, mm-hmm. a lot, that I can say court packing. And most people that I'm talking to will know what I mean. When most Americans don't have any idea yeah. what that means. What court? What are you packing? With what?
What does that mean?
And then the Supreme Court. Oh, well, I've heard of that. Well, do you know how many people are on it? No. Do you know? I mean, you know, that's the level of knowledge necessary to run the republic and to have informed voting. That's something that concerns me all the time.
And isn't that amazing, though, in today's world that you have everything, every bit of information literally in the world at the palm of your hands. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the voters and the average American knows less now than at any point in our history.
I watched a Jimmy Kimmel clip the other day on YouTube. Can you name a country? He was just going up to random people. You would be shocked.
Oh, stop.
You would be shocked. Yeah. You would be shocked. Can you name a country?
I'm glad I didn't see that.
And, you know, I know that with editing, you can pick the ones that are funny. I get that. Yeah. But that you could find anybody
yes.
that would fail that question is, I mean, it's incredibly frustrating.
People naming continents and, right. you know, and cities. I mean, it's just...
And when you ask and you see the same clips, which you see all kind of funny stuff on the internet now yeah. about that. But it's amazing the lack of knowledge of just U.S. history.
Mm-hmm.
They can't name, you know, Congress, you know, the White House.
Three branches of government.
Right. It's sad and it's unbelievable.
Well, and to bring it back to the HB1, you look at, for example, what's happening now in Minnesota in two different incidents. Obviously, one is the George Floyd killing with the Derek Chauvin trial that's, you know, getting ready to wrap up, and then the other over this shooting of a black man by a white police officer who's now immediately facing charges, which I think is way too fast and political. But okay, the point is, you got people out in the streets protesting. This video broke overnight of in Chicago of a police officer shooting a 13-year-old boy that was running from him. That maybe had a gun. We don't know. It's hard to tell from the video. But people are out protesting in the streets instantly based on what information, based on what fact pattern that nobody has yet, but it's time to protest. Is that even healthy for a democracy if people believe that they can know that quickly what the truth of a matter is and be that outraged? That's not healthy.
Maybe they're reacting without all the information, but maybe they're seeing it as a pattern and it just reinforces their beliefs.
And back to the point you brought up, Troy, is, you know, how would you persuade them that pattern is not the total picture or that this example is not a good example of that pattern, you know, because we're so far down the road of investing in each case that are they even caring about the facts anymore? It's, you know, on both sides.
Well, I got in trouble, not trouble. I tend to speak my mind. I have no trouble doing that. And I commented on something, I'll just say online yesterday, about a video that, of course, does just like every video that's controversial these days are showing something. They never start or show the video from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They start it from where it makes one party, and we'll just leave it at that,
sure.
look bad. And I'm looking at the comments, and they're just roasting this person. And I'm like, why do we always get these videos that start in the middle? Mm-hmm. We don't see what started the incident. And I said, you know, for me, I'm going to wait before I convict and judge this person till we know all the facts. And you would have thought that was just crazy thought, crazy wording.
The rush to instant judgment.
It's unbelievable.
And if you don't, you know, I do this Transgressors Memorial Ceremony partially to make fun of that insta-judgment kind of thing, that if you're not instantly on the right side, well, I don't want to be instant about almost anything. I'd rather wait and see and learn and go through a process and get better information and then form a view.
That's why, you know, since I left the News Journal, I've kind of laid low, you know, politically. I don't post a lot of stuff.
Sure.
For one thing, I have an institution that I work for, and I don't want to embarrass them. But also, there's so many voices out there saying stuff. What am I going to add to it? I mean, there's just so much information, as we talked about. And I think you just have to go to a broad spectrum of media. You know, people ask me, Troy, what do you watch? I watch Fox News. I watch CNN. I watch MSNBC. They go, well, how can you watch that one? Well, because I like to know what everybody is saying, where they're coming from. And I just don't understand people say, well, I don't listen to these guys because I don't agree with them. But you need to know where the other side is coming from.
That's why I listen to people I disagree with, because I want to find my blind spots, rough spots, areas of ignorance, and I certainly want to understand what other people are saying, even if I – how can I disagree with them if I don't know what they're saying?
So many people just want an echo chamber. They really do.
So we have in studio with me, I have Greg Litton. I've got Troy Moon. Obviously, the conversation goes pretty quickly, but it's very interesting. We'll continue with the wrap here in just a moment. Davis Allen has traffic for you. Good morning, 8:50 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's The Wrap. In studio with me, I have Greg Litton, Major League Baseball player, formerly, of course, great, and also he ran for County Commission District 4 a couple of years ago, and Troy Moon, formerly with the PNJ and now with PSC. You just like acronym employers, is that it?
That begin with a P. I like in Pensacola State College. I see your homeboy over there has got a UWF hat over there.
That's right.
We've got two great colleges here, and I'm just got a plug. I'm happy to be working at PSC. Check it out.
Yeah, no, it's great. What I like, one of the things, it's a small thing, but I love that PSC has the disc golf course now. I love that PSC has the tennis courts. It's my favorite place to go play tennis because it's almost always open and it's almost never full.
Do you play disc golf?
Oh yeah, you and I keep. We gotta play. Yeah,
I play all the time, couple times a week. I mean, I'll hook up with you after this.
For sure. Is Greg a disc golf guy?
We were talking about that earlier. I've
that
played a
like
few
a no.
times.
Ball
like
golf.
No.
He's a ball golfer.
I like to actually hit that little golf
little white ball. All right.
Yeah,
which
I drive myself crazy.
I would do more if I had more of the time and the money.
Amen.
But since I'm a little short in both of those, to do that would be my thing. So. You know, kind of speaking of in the vicinity of sports, we've got a big conversation about the Bay Center, obviously, this week. It seems like periodically we always have a conversation about the Bay Center. They're putting aside the plan to try to find an alternative, at least for now, until we get out of COVID. We're putting more money into the Bay Center all the time. They may or may not have been eligible for some kind of money if we'd have done it right through CARES and certainly through CARES, too. We just revamped it tremendously for the basketball tournament. It's better than ever, and people still don't love it. So, any thoughts on where we should go with the once great gray goddess, the Bay Street or the Bay Center?
What goes on in there besides hockey?
Well, Pensacon.
Okay, I'm talking about on a regular basis.
And occasional luncheon meetings of groups in the concourse.
I just remember, they don't have concerts really anymore.
Because
you can't
not
have
this
concerts.
Last year, right.
But even before that, you didn't see as many. I remember when they first opened, they were packing them in all the time, and it just seemed to taper off. So, I mean, not to attack the place, but I just don't know if there's that much activity going on in there.
Well, I obviously the big draw is the Ice Flyers, the routine, and of course the graduations. I think there's the private ice skating or the not hockey ice skating is a big thing. Greg, any thoughts on where we should go with this? I mean, you're pretty well tuned into the sports community.
Well, and I looked into that a lot back when I ran for commissioner because that was in the district, and I'll be honest, that's a tough call. I mean, on one side you see the studies where it adds so much to a city being downtown and all, but then you put it in another area, and I think they were talking off W Street back then, finding an area and how much it would do for that area, and it's a tough call. But at some point, you know, it is an old dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. It looks like an old dinosaur,
it does.
Too.
Yeah. Something's got to be done
it's
soon.
It's not quite an eyesore when you're going downtown, but it's not far off.
Not quite.
Not exactly.
Yeah, it's close.
Architecturally, I mean, if you're driving down 110 and you're heading towards the water, you see the bridge and you're like, oh, I mean, I do. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one, but I see the arch and I see the lights that are coming and all that. And of course, that's when it's done and what it was before. But when I see the Bay Center, I don't go, oh. I go, oh. Okay.
It looks like it'd be a great place for an evacuation center. I mean, that's what it looks like.
That's right.
I hate to say it because they brought in so many great things over the years. Maybe not recently, but a lot of great memories there.
Yeah, and certainly not to, as you say, I don't want to pile on. It's a difficult. It's a difficult thing to solve, and you know, it's not. I'm not particularly knocking any of the management of it, but it's a difficult thing for us to have that as the big great resource when maybe we could have something better. Maybe we could have something down at Community Maritime Park. You know, there's all kinds of possibilities, right? 8:55 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I promise you guys that the time would fly, and time flies always. We have in studio with me Troy Moon and Greg Litton. Let's take a quick break and get traffic on the fives with Davis Allen.
And quickly, just seeing some minor delays on Highway 29 southbound between 9 Mile and I-10, but no delays on Avalon or Garson, and also Gulf Breeze Parkway, Navarre Parkway flowing smoothly. This report is brought to you by Christina Leavenworth and Leavenrinky Realty. Thinking about buying or selling your house? Don't waste another day. Contact Christina Leavenworth and the Leavenworth team today. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So back to the wrap with Greg and Troy. This may seem like an odd thing, but it's something that captures my attention. I see more mural art all the time in our area. I was just over for Leadership Santa Rosa. I was over in Milton yesterday, and several of the murals that they have right downtown on Caroline Street are just very cool. We recently, the new one that's over at, is it Pace and Cervantes, the Blue Angel mural on the side of the mobile phone place. It seems like there's always a new one, a better one. I think it's really cool. I mean, I think we're to the point where you could make it a scavenger hunt for the area.
One of the last year I was at the PNJ, I did an article on Pensacola murals, and you know, I still only touched on a fraction of them. There's been so many more. Oh yeah, I mean, anytime you can add, you know, a bit of color to your town and a little, you know, I mean, no, I love it. I love it. I love art, and I think we should have more of it.
Even when I was driving down, you know, you go down Cervantes, you pass the Publix, across the street on the fence, there's that one.
Right.
It's not the greatest work of art ever has been, but it's different.
I love that.
It's eye-catching.
Yeah. Is that the one where they're painting or something on it? Yeah.
I think it's flowers or something. I notice it every time and I think about it, but that's...
And in some of the cities, my daughter sends me pictures. I've got... Both my daughters have moved off, unfortunately, but one lives in Nashville. One lives in Atlanta. And when I go visit them, you see that kind of stuff much more prevalent. And I think it really, if done properly,
right,
you don't want just every other wall painted by like me. So, but
like Graffiti Bridge.
But done properly, I think it can add a whole lot of beauty and attraction to a city.
And it's something different. It's something noticeable. It's something that kind of catches your eye, like Graffiti Bridge does, or even like, you know, the ECUA water tank, you know. And look, I want to give credit because ECUA turned the boat around.
They did.
And thank God they listened to us. But at the same time, like, how did this not occur to you when, to me, those art spaces are just, they are a really big part of who we are as a community.
Yeah, and like what's the place that Studer has there with the big white wall there?
Oh, the Studer Community Institute,
Yeah. I know they did a few things on there, but I think that's just ripe for a beautiful, even if it's, you know, multimedia mural, you know. But
something that could be changed a little bit more frequently. I mean, I think back to like the Jefferson Street Garage and, you know, just kind of all of that stuff. It really builds the flavor of the community.
What I tell you, you brought up the water tower, and
hey, it's a win! We'll take the win.
But when you're privy to some information, or you paid attention to the meetings about it within the ECUA, it was really just, if you listen to it, the level of just dumbness in politics and in certain places. I'm sorry, I'm going to tell you.
That's why I had you on. I knew Greg would say what he thought.
Somebody didn't think welcome to Pensacola was offensive. And it's like, I mean, what do you say to that?
No, I'm glad they did turn around. Because, I mean, who wanted to see ECU at A logo
again
up there, man? I mean, because that is, when you ride, you get off the interstate. If you've never been to Pensacola, you're riding in. That's it, man.
But why would you put that there? What possible purpose does that serve? Do you ride by and they go, oh, ECUA. There's something about it.
Thank goodness, right. But again, I want to give credit. They turned it around. They did listen, and we fixed it. I just think there's more of that we could do.
Amen, brother.
More art spaces, more interesting things that make a community distinctive and people remember when they come. Oh, my God, we're out of time. It is the end of the show on the week. It's 8:59. Greg Litton, Troy Moon, thank you so much for joining me for the wrap. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Have a good weekend. It's going to be rainy and lightning for a little while.
News.